sweat.
In 5, 4.
That'll be if you laugh.
Do you remember he used to do that though?
Yeah.
Stupid shit he used to do. And
yeah. Fuck.
Hold Reddit.
It does help though. I mean, but you know, it's completely unnecessary because who the fuck are we trying to avoid? Like, you know, this does kind of sound like shit, and these guys aren't particularly funny. But man, those edits are cool. It's almost exactly the same. I thought I was there.
Oh, shit.
I thought I was there listening to it.
Because
it's concert
gonna,
hall.
But what's going to happen is the theme song is going to play, and it's going to fade into me doing that. It's going to sound just like the theme song never. And it's gonna, I'm going to talk, and it's going to sound like we abruptly ended the theme song, and people are going to be like, oh, I didn't like that at all. And then they're going to hear this explanation. They're going to go, what? Let me rewind this shit.
That was amazing. Now, I'm going to play that back, try to figure out what the fuck you're talking about. I'm trying to make it work.
Welcome, listeners, to the Nerd Sharks.
It is a
duo today.
Yeah.
As Patrick is out with Salmonella. Reed.
His brother's name is Salmonella. Is that
Yeah.
Yeah, he's deathly ill. And Reed, yeah, who knows what's going on with Reed?
Last I heard, he had joined the Navy.
Right.
The Iraqi Navy. So, well, which is, that's kind of weird.
It is weird.
I guess.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure he has a thing for swarthy gays. So.
With olive colored skin, right?
He's gonna love this. He'll love this part.
Guys, are you saying I'm gay again?
And, so, I was gonna say we're also missing one other person. Wouldn't really make much sense if this is going to air before the last one recorded.
It won't make much sense. So what you're wondering, listeners, is why haven't we heard the Nerd Sharks in so long?
Right.
And the reason is because we switched over who was going to edit, and I was supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't find an editing software that worked, or at least that I knew how to work. So
because you didn't look for one.
I did look for one.
It's hard.
Yeah.
They're not abundantly available.
And I even downloaded fucking BitTorrent again.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Tried to find a good one.
Yeah.
And every one I got would not work for me.
That's too bad.
So.
Well, I appreciate the effort.
Yeah. I did.
But that leaves it up to me.
To catch up. Because we have about 3 episodes that we're backlogged on. And on one of those episodes, we have a special guest appearance.
We do. And
Robert Hoya. It's Robert Hoya. I just spelled it for you.
Okay, so a guest appearance.
a guest appearance.
That was like, that was special. I don't know.
A re-return.
Yeah, and maybe he'll be back again at some point, maybe he won't.
Oh, it depends on his work schedule.
Yeah, and work schedule is kind of the name of the game here, because since we started doing this, I want to say it was before I had a job, maybe it wasn't. Maybe I was working for, by the time whoever it is I work for, before I started doing it, but you didn't.
I didn't have a job.
And Hoya didn't
have a job. He was going to school.
Yeah, so that made it a lot easier. So, those things have changed. So, and plus me, the one that started doing the editing, I had worked 6 days a week all throughout all of July. So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and June before that. So, saving up for Comic-Con. And then there was Comic-Con, so.
Yeah, but I think after the next time we record, I'll be back in school, so I'll be free every Saturday.
That's good.
Because my summer job will end.
Well, I got Saturdays and Sundays off now.
So we can do that.
So that's good. Although I'll probably end up working more overtime, so I'll only have Sundays off.
Chloe's supposed to be changing up his job stuff going on, so.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
We'll probably finally be able to get an episode with all 5 of the Nerd Sharks on again.
Again. We only have 1 episode, you know that, right?
Of all of us
on? All of us on, yeah.
Really?
And it was the one that I thought was going to be my last.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah. That's the only one.
Well, I always wanted us to have like a shuffling cast.
It's not bad.
Which is cool, you know.
I don't think having five dudes clusterfuck the mic is an enjoyable experience. Yeah. I think two to three is probably ideal. But who knows? I mean, we can do it with four.
We can do it with 12 if we want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's been happening for us?
What has been happening? Well, you got a job.
I got a job. They knew that already. We recorded like four times since I've had the job.
Yeah, but I don't know if any of those have been put up yet.
Oh, shit, that's right, yeah. So for the fourth time, I do have a job, yeah. It's just a summer job.
So that's the thing. We're going to post this episode, but there are at least two more, maybe three, that have been recorded that have not been posted. Those will go up at some point in the future. You'll have to forgive all of the time-sensitive stuff. We're going to sound like assholes.
We'll be judging. Trying to predict what's already happened.
That's right. We did. We made E3 predictions. I don't think those ever
No. Yeah, we had made an E3 reaction episode. Right. As well as a Comic-Con prediction episode.
Yeah, yeah. So, good times.
Yeah. Also, one of those episodes is the 100th episode. And it is up to you to decide which one is your 100th episode.
That's right. You'll know it in your heart of hearts.
You'll feel it. Like, you'll be like, this here, that Peter Dinklage reference, mm-hmm. That's my 100th episode. Peter Dinklage, by the way, in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, hey, I heard about that.
He is playing
Shredder?
Boulevard Trask.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
The man in charge of the...
Famous midget in the X-Men universe.
Well, here's the thing, though. It doesn't matter that they made Boulevard Trask a midget. It doesn't, because Peter Dinklage is an amazing actor.
I agree, but good lord. Okay, so let me tell you this. Well, let me ask you this. If Tyrion Lannister was not a midget, do you think it would change the character very much?
If he was not?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, so what if Jaime Lannister was a midget?
Okay, he'd be a completely different person.
All right, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, I get you. I get you.
but the character already exists.
Okay.
So it's not as if
it's a brand new character.
It's a different character necessarily. I guess they could go by it, but it shouldn't matter. But goddamn it, I'm tired of them not just being faithful to their source material. They just don't care about it.
I don't care that they're not faithful to it at this point. The changes they're making are entertaining to me.
Okay.
So it's like, you know,
it could go worse. I mean, if Dinklage was playing Splinter, I might not feel so bad about it. It'd be fucking ridiculous, but
Peter Dinklage as Splinter is way better than fucking
whoever the other
midget is.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah,
can't wait for him to do Kung Fu, man. It's gonna be... He's got a lot of fucking somersaults.
They're gonna be slow somersaults. Come on, guys.
Their fucking Foot Clan is gonna be trying to lead their ninja stars, but he's just not that fast. So they're always in front of him. What do you think the over-under is for accuracy of ninja stars in movies?
Oh, it's gotta be over.
It's worse than gunfights, I think.
I think
no one ever hits anybody with a ninja star in a movie. You see them all flying all the time.
They hit all the time at Ninja Assassin.
Right.
I think that raises the... just because there's statistically way less ninja stars being thrown than bullets being fired, I think that average that balances it out.
I mean, you would have to... In order to fire off that many ninja stars, you'd have to be fucking loaded down with them at all times. And I don't think ninja stars are... You know, if you had a... If you had him on a rope or some shit like that, and you just had a band of ninja stars,
like janitor keys,
you have to fucking take it off your belt loop, right? Because that's what I tie into my belt loop. You pull them off one by one, they'd be fucking rattling around. How did ninjas carry out multiple ninja stars? You remember that scene in Ninja Scroll, right in the beginning?
I actually never saw Ninja Scroll.
You fucking asshole. There's a scene in Ninja Scroll right in the beginning where...
You're gonna spoil it for me?
Well, it's not a spoiler, it's right in the beginning.
That was the joke.
Oh! So there's a dude that is killing ninjas essentially, and he's hiding in one of the trees. And it's one dude taking out a whole like clan of ninjas that are all out in the forest, and they're on a mission, and he interrupts their shit. He starts killing them off. They spot where he's at in the tree, they're like, there. And as soon as he says that, like just thousands of ninja stars come pelting the tree, fucking just tearing the tree to shreds. And eventually a branch falls down, and there's the dude standing there, and he's, like, made of stone, and all of the fucking ninja stars are just around him. It's like 1,000 ninja stars at least. But they're fucking moving through the trees all silent shit. How the fuck does that even work?
I don't know.
Well, I need some answers.
Maybe they just, maybe they have a ninja star distributor in their satchels.
That's what I'm saying. They gotta have something satchels like that. I don't think ninjas had stuff like that back in the day.
Back in the day.
It'd be like a ninja star Pez dispenser. A little Tweety bird head that pops back.
Very good that. You're pretty awesome.
So what were we talking about?
I don't know. we were talking about Peter Dinklage playing Splinter and doing some results and then leading with the ninjas.
And so, Peter Dinklage, at least 1,000 ninja stars, but anyway, Boulevard Trask is played by
Peter Dinklage.
Pretty sweet.
And I would again be upset if Peter Dinklage wasn't such an amazing actor.
Like, that's true.
Like, I'm happy he's getting more work, because there's not a lot of just roles at end, and the midget teaches.
Maybe you'll have, like, cybernetic legs and body.
Something like that.
You know, make
it. Maybe it's just, that's his mutation. He's a mutant, and that makes him mad. Why do all these dickheads get good powers? I'm just short.
His ability is to sometimes be a midget. His mutant ability is to be portrayed by Peter Dinklage.
I would want that ability.
That'd be pretty
good. Go to job interviews and have Peter Dinklage portray me.
That'd be good.
That would fucking get you every job.
It would. You'd fucking take over that place immediately. Be the treasurer.
And then fuck a foreign hooker.
That's right. Tywin would be even better.
Oh God, you'd be president.
Yeah, you should run for president. Who's that actor's name? That dude.
That guy.
He definitely should run for president. Even though he's clearly a foreigner. He should run for president of whatever country he's from.
He's from the UK.
Well, the president of the UK.
We have a prime minister.
Look, the president of the UK doesn't need to be diminished by your major prime minister.
Because they have a parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means.
Like George Clinton? P-Funk?
Did you know, I just read this, so I don't know if it's true, but I want to say it anyway.
Well, you read it. That's pretty good.
George Washington, if you account for inflation, was the richest president of all time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He had a net worth of $42 million.
Wow. That's believable. I mean, they're right in the middle of building this country on the back of slaves.
Yeah, and he had like 250 slaves or something like that.
I hear slavery is very lucrative. Free labor really lines your pockets pretty well.
It's not free. You have to pay for places for them to live, pay for their food, pay for the people who are going to administer discipline.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about what it's like to own slaves.
you don't understand.
I didn't think about
what the insurance is on, on a 6-foot Negro slave.
That's true. Jeez, you think driving a red car is bad? Owning a person, yeah, that would be weird if like you had to insure adult people that are.
They're considered property, not
right,
people.
Right.
Would they get free healthcare if you had that insurance on them?
I'm pretty sure they don't get any healthcare.
No, any sort. What I'm saying is, if you have the insurance on them, like, hey, his fucking knee blew out, give him a new knee. You know, would your insurance cover that? Exactly. So they would essentially, the slave would essentially have free healthcare.
I'm pretty sure, well, maybe the insurance company sends a guy to shoot him. I think that's how that works. So, you know, you don't look like the bad guy in front of the other slaves, you know. But that doesn't work either, because then you don't have any clout with the slaves.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I tell you what, I'm glad I'm not a slave.
Too much responsibility.
That George Washington was so fucking bad. He must have earned every bit of those $200 million.
Dealing with all Father of our country, don't you dare down talking like
I'm
that.
I'm sorry, yeah.
All right. Wooden teeth. Chop down a cherry tree. Never lied.
Couldn't tell a lie.
Yeah, could not lie.
How is it that he's not... You got Honest Abe, and he's the guy that didn't lie about the cherry tree? George Washington? Shouldn't he be Honest George?
Honest George?
Yeah.
No, because he chopped down
the cherry. It always confused me as a kid.
Because he chopped down the cherry tree to steal his wooden teeth. That's how he got his wooden teeth. Those are the they're made out of wood and cherry.
That was when he was a kid, wasn't it?
I think so. It's
hard scrabble back then. Wooden teeth in grade school.
What the fuck kind of delinquent just chops down a cherry tree, by the way?
Son of a bitch. He's trying to get at those sweet cherries.
You know, we've really come up since those days.
Well, yeah, we've come a long way.
What else do we got?
I don't know. I don't know where.
So what happened at Comic-Con? What was your favorite Dean?
Coolest thing for me was Kevin Eastman. I got to talk to him just for a few minutes while he drew me a Raphael in my sketchbook. That was the highlight.
Now I have a question for you. How do you know he drew you Raphael and didn't instead draw you Donatello with size?
It's a very good question. I told him. Now, I know that a lot of artists like to play tricks on their fans, on their lifelong fans. Please, Mr. Eastman, don't draw me Donatello with Raphael's size. And he said, "You got it, punk." No, I don't. Who knows? Maybe he did.
And he did.
But he did. He did throw in both sides, which was nice.
Fucking dick.
He was pretty cool, I guess. I mean, most artists. It's surprising. I mean, not surprising. I don't know. But most artists are really fucking cool. You know, they're down-to-earth people. Or maybe they just try their best while they're at Comic-Con. You know, they're trying to put on their, you know, you want to please their fans or whatever, but some of them don't. Some of them are fucking just, they conduct themselves as if they don't have a line of people staring at them, waiting for their turn to say, you know, exchange a couple of sentences with them and get some shit signed and all that. some dudes like J. Scott Campbell are now charging for autographs, $5 a book. If you buy something at his booth, then he'll sign whatever you bought for free. But I mean, it's, I don't know, kind of lame. But yeah, Kevin Eastman, not like that at all. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even selling anything. He was taking donations for some kind of, I think it was like a comic book defense fund, but it wasn't that. It was something else like that. But he was giving out free posters. Like, you just went over there and just said hi to him, he would sign a poster and give it to you.
That's pretty fucking dope.
Yeah. And
so when you had him draw the Raphael for you, was it in a book of yours or what?
Yeah, I have a sketchbook full of, well, that's not full yet, it's only got a handful, but it's a sketchbook I bought specifically to ask artists to draw something in it, hopefully for free, but if I gotta pay for a sketch here or there, it's okay. But I think so far, all of the ones that are in that book have been for free.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's the goal. But, you know, doing that keeps it consistent, because I don't want to have, like, a fucking quick doodle on one page and then, like, this crazy thing on the other side that's, you know, worth a significant amount of money. So just try to keep it free. And then anything I pay for, I try to just get standalone, you know. 11 by 17s usually are pretty good, nice size. But that's usually been the focus of most of the Comic-Con trips nowadays, is just art, you know. But this year I went to a lot of panels, I felt like. I didn't get enough time out of it. I went to the Hasbro's booth and got all the toys and stuff that I wanted to get. Got me Metroplex, biggest Transformer made so far. It's just over 2 feet tall. It's pretty fucking dope. I got me a crossover set. But basically all the stuff that I expected to get. But I didn't expect a Kevin Eastman Raphael, so that was cool. I also got Alvin Lee draw X-23 for me on a sketch cover, on a Avengers Arena sketch cover. Came out amazing looking. I was trying to show it to you, but I kept getting distracted. What else? A bunch of toys. I got a couple of sketches. I got an Adam Hughes quick, like, X-23 sketch cover on a Wolverine comic. I've got a few prints from different artists. I got fucking Art Germ, Lanil Yu. Not Lanil Yu. What the fuck am I talking about? Art Germ is...
Lanil Yu, by the way, is fucking awesome.
He is. He was. He wasn't there this year.
Fuck.
I know. He is awesome. I did see him do a panel a couple of years back, though, where he was drawing Wolverine and shit and hella quick, you know, and just amazing.
His movie. Wolverine is so good.
Yeah.
I love his Wolverine.
Yeah, it's the best. No, Stanley Lau, that's his name, Art Germ, he's blowing up right now. DC had him do some Batgirl covers before the New 52 stuff started. He did some Birds of Prey stuff. He's now the designer for Sideshow for DC's female statues. He's blowing up. $600 for a sketch cover from this guy now. $1,000 for a 11x17 actual commission. And his prints go on eBay, or some dude bought all of his prints. There are like 4 or 5 of them from this year's commission and was selling them on eBay. They're $20 each and he's selling them for like $300.
God damn. I gotta start doing this Comic Con thing.
To make some money?
Yeah.
A lot of people do, dude. I feel like that's probably a good quarter of the people who are there to make money. It's certainly what it seems like, because you see people. My friend Joe said he went to the Mattel booth and there was this Webarella High School Monster High doll.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Barbie with like monster themes, and they had a limit of 6 of those figures per customer, which seems kind of weird, but people go up there and they buy their 6, and their wife will buy 6, and a friend that they paid to get in will buy 6 or whatever, and they'll buy so much shit that like their totals will be like $2,000 at the register at the fucking Mattel booth. They're not collectors, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're fucking making money. So that kind of sucks, and there's plenty of that, but there's no way to really stop it. And it's a weird environment. Like, in the 40 or more years now of Comic-Con history, there's only been one instance of violence, and that was last year or the year before. A dude stabbed another dude in the leg with a pen because he tried to take his seat in Hall H.
Hall H, man.
It's Hall H.
Hall H is fucking crazy.
And it's funny is that the news is out there all the time. It's a huge deal in San Diego. And so when they're pulling this guy out, where the cops go in, all the news crews, they kind of walk over there. So
stabbing at Comic-Con.
Right.
So that proportion.
Of course, yeah. But when they pulled the guy out, very clearly a nerd, and he's on the news, the cops escorting him across, and he's like, I'm sorry. he realized he fucked up, then he overreacted or whatever. But it's that kind of environment where you can have 100,000 people there all waiting in line, all spending large amounts of money, all trying to get something before it's gone, and there's no instance of violence or anything.
Which is
like
pretty insane. Fights. It's pretty insane. Considering, let's say at least 25% of those people have weapons.
Right. That's right.
Whether or not it's a sharp object,
it's
still
a cardboard buster sword, but fuck it, that'll sting,
That'll sting. That thing
will smart.
If some of them have those real metal Captain America shields,
all right, yeah.
That'll fuck somebody up.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
But in a nutshell, it's always a great time. I was glad I went. Spent way more money than I was supposed to. My hotel fucking sucked. We found a cockroach, and the bathtub was rusty, and we got a smoking room, crawling with prostitutes. It was pretty sweet.
I didn't mean to do that.
Sure you didn't, hand farter.
What was I going to ask you? WonderCon.
Mm-hmm.
On a scale of like exclusive items like that, how was it different from Comic-Con?
Comic-Con is the fucking big daddy. As a matter of fact, I don't know because I haven't been to New York Comic-Con, but New York seems like it's number 2 in the conventions for the U.S. Comic book related. San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con. Maybe then WonderCon, and then maybe like Wizard World or a few different. I think there's one in Chicago. But WonderCon, I don't know about it. It's like Hasbro doesn't have a presence there, and there or Mattel. Not the one that I went to. The last one I went to was the one in Moscone before I went to Anaheim. I think it's coming back.
It's going to be in both places this year, or in 2014.
Oh, right. So that's cool. I don't see anything wrong with that necessarily, just as long as it doesn't dilute one or the other,
I think they would have them at different times. Also, you can't count on the same thing that we get.
WonderCon's great because it's a little kind of it's a little mini version of Comic-Con. All the artists usually are there. A lot of artists, so that's cool. If you're into that, that's a good place to go because it's smaller. There's not as many people. You can move around. Okay.
It seems like it would be about comic books. Yeah. More focus on comic books, which I think is cool.
There is. Marvel's there, DC. The comic companies are there. Comic artists are there. There are retailers there, like Comic-Con has. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody sets up booths, and people are selling comics and toys and all of that. But usually the big companies, Fox, for instance, doesn't have a booth there.
That's one of the things that appeals to me more about a WonderCon is that the big movie studios, or the big studios that have nothing to do with actual comic book properties, aren't there.
Right. There's no
fucking Ludacris there to promote some book he's producing with Tyrese or something. Tyrese, like that.
Exactly.
You know. Although I did meet Ludacris when I went to Comic Con, so that was cool.
Well, I didn't get to see him. So fuck me.
Yeah, so fuck you.
What else happened?
There's a convention I would want to go to. There's a convention I really want to go to. It's called Gen Con. It's a board game convention.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they have card game tournaments like this, like Magic the Gathering, the Game of Thrones card game, any major card game in there, even games that are already dead.
Right.
They have a tournament there for them.
Right.
So they're big world championships. Some people get paid, some people don't. So that's pretty cool to have all those tournaments there. But then they also have like just a bunch of video games that are in development. Board games that are in development or stuff that like just gets released for Gen Con and that are exclusive. Cool. Stuff like that, and it's so basically like a comic book convention but exclusively for board games.
Right.
You know, there's no like, you know, movie tie-ins or anything like that, and it's pretty cool. And the game we just played, Smash Up,
mm-hmm.
that got released, surprise, just snuck it in at Gen Con. It got hyped up a little bit before and then they just snuck in the release at Gen Con last year. And then it took off from there. So they have like a it's just little rounds where like, okay, everyone over here is playing such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And you can play that for an hour or two. And then go play something else. Yeah. So it's just a big old convention where people are playing board games and buying new board games. So stuff's going to be on sale.
Sure. The conventions are pretty cool. I mean, if you go to a convention that's centered around
something that you're interested in,
it's better than, you know, any theme park, pretty much anything else, really. I mean, after my first Comic-Con, I was just like, this is it for me. This is what I'm doing now for the rest of my life.
See, that was the thing I think I didn't like about Comic-Con itself, is it does everything.
It does.
And it's in too small of a space to do everything well. So it's like, okay, I can go meet the cast of Attack of the Show, and then right next door, go demo, you know, Resident Evil 5.
Right.
And then right next door to that,
You can do
some dude is selling samurai sword replicas. You know, it's like, okay, like there's not enough.
Yeah,
you know, focus on any one thing.
There is everything everywhere that I think. I don't know that it's at the same time it's best and worst feature. Really, I think. I mean,
the benefit of it is that you're gonna see something you didn't expect.
Right.
So that's gonna be awesome. The worst part is like if you're going there for this one specific thing, mm-hmm. you only have so much of that.
Right. Well, the vibe for Comic-Con is kind of come one, come all. Unless you're into one particular thing that you really want to see, then everyone else is in your fucking way. You know? It's like, fuck all you posers,
yeah,
you know?
I would imagine that. So, I would definitely like to go to Gen Con and WonderCon.
WonderCon is awesome. I don't know. I've heard of Gen Con, but is it in California, Gen Con?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
So that would be expensive.
WonderCon's pretty cool. I really like WonderCon. We went for one day when I went. We went for one day, kind of drug it out, but I'm gonna be happy when it comes back to San Francisco because I'll be going again. I've already decided I'm not going to Comic Con next year. It's just it's too much. It costs too much. I can't really afford to.
You already said you had to work 6 days a week for 2 months to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And then even with the money you'd spent, you said you spent too much money.
I did.
Yeah, so like something like that. I mean, it's cool. It's fun. It sounds great, but.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that, like, I don't know why. For me, when I prepared like that, everything was planned out. So when it all went according to plan, there was no real thrill to it, you know?
Yeah,
it's like, all right, well, I got all the stuff I wanted to. All right, well.
Yeah, I understand that.
But,
everything was too symmetrical.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird, stupid thing, but I think for me, like, the stuff that satisfies me most and kind of really feel special is when you get artists to do anything for you.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what's so cool about having a sketchbook. I recommend that to anybody. If you're interested in art at all, get yourself a sketchbook, big or small, whatever it is, and just carry that with you, because a lot of times you get, I think the term now is convention sketches, mm-hmm. which like Bruce Timm was there, for instance. Me and my friend Joe went to Bruce Timm's thing. My friend Joe goes, hey, would you mind, he wanted to have the Amalgam character of Joker and who was it? Joker and you know, Amalgam was Marvel. And
yeah, where they makes these, they had like Dark Claw.
It's called Hyena. It was Dark Claw's nemesis. It was Sabretooth and Joker combined.
Hyena.
Hyena, yeah. And
that's stupid.
Well, that's how Amalgam was. A lot of those things were like that. But I don't think it's that. I mean, if you're going to mix those characters' nemesises together, Joker and Sabretooth,
that makes the most sense.
A laughing cat of some kind, hyena. He's a dog, but anyway, he wanted Bruce Timm to draw these. He's like, hey, would you draw me a hyena? He's like, nope. He's like, all right. Well, he's like, I'll draw you Batman. And he fucking.
What a dick.
Without taking this Sharpie off the page, he draws a complete Batman. And it's just a little. It's like a caricature, very simple, but. It's still fucking. It's Bruce Timm that did it, not some fucking asshole.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but he does. He has these convention sketches, and you might have a book full of those, but still, it's pretty cool. And in those instances, he doesn't charge
anything. I wonder if you had an artist, and when you pay an artist, they'll commission it. You can commission them to do whatever you want.
Usually,
right?
Yeah.
I always wanted to do this where I had enough money. I would just commission different artists to do pictures of me, like, but in like certain like really obscure situations. Like, I wanted one of me fighting a Balrog. Right. Or Balrog from Lord of the Rings. I want one of me riding a dinosaur. Uh-huh. Right, another one of me, like, just in different scenarios, stuff right. like that. You know, just fun things.
I don't know. I think some artists are, like, hesitant about doing, like, known characters. I don't know if you'd have much luck getting your own face drawn fighting a Balrog, but still.
Or it's just, a monster or something like that. You know what I mean? Just,
yeah. But I don't know. That would be interesting to see how much success you'd have with that.
I would kill to have Ryan Ottley draw me doing anything.
Who's Ryan Ottley?
Ryan Ottley, he's the guy who does Invincible.
Okay. Right. I was thinking of a different Invincible.
Yeah.
So
you're thinking of the Mark Wahlberg movie? No. That was live action. What's he talking about?
No, what's it called? Adam Warren has one comic. It's like a manga kind of style.
Oh, okay. Or Frank Cho. Frank Cho does some fun art. Or,
yeah, he was there, and I had
Lenil
some books.
Lenil
Yu. Oh, really?
I would think he would do that, too.
I don't have any Lenil Yu sketches.
Lenil? Is it Leno or Lenil?
Who knows? You're probably right.
I've always said Lenil.
Lenil?
I say Lenil. Sounds more correct.
I did. I'm pretty sure it was Lenil Yu. If it was Lenil, I probably would have caught on to that at some point.
Who knows? That's what you get.
I've been known to mispronounce artist names. So.
I think every comic, like, writer, artist, anyone in the credits of a comic book has had their name mispronounced.
Yeah,
just because, you never hear it said.
A lot of people reading,
And you hardly ever buy a book just because it has certain artists or certain writers. I mean, I'll do it. There's certain artists or writers that I do, like Brian K. Vaughan.
Mm-hmm.
Anything he writes. Who else? Just about anything Mark Waid does. I dig him for some reason.
Right.
Or Mark Millar.
Right.
He's one of those guys too. And the thing is, there's big guys like Jeff Johns and Grant Morrison and stuff like that. But I'm like Jeff Johns. Like, I know it's going to be good, but I've kind of read a Jeff Johns book. You know what you're going to get.
Right.
And with Grant Morrison, I don't always buy his shit just because you never know if it's going to be awful. You know, I love the guy. It could be amazing. It could change your life. You're like, oh wow, this is the best thing I've ever read in my whole life. Or it could be Batman R.I.P.
Right.
Or Final Crisis.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's since I was a kid, I was always drawn to the art, especially when Jim Lee started
Jim Lee is fucking
and,
shit.
Yeah. I'm very happy I got a Jim Lee Batman the first year I went.
That's the way to start. That's the way to fucking start.
It was amazing.
That's one of my things I like about DC's MMO, DC Universe Online, is Jim Lee was the art director for it. So it all, if it's going to be an MMO, it's all going to look good. And it looks Jim Lee style, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Jim Lee's shit it doesn't always, translate depending on what they're doing. But for the most part, it seems like... I'll just fucking come out and say what I'm thinking of is what there's been a new figure, a Batman figure. I forget the name of the company that does it, but it's called Super Alloy. It's like a $200 or $300 figure. It's made out of die-cast metal, his body, and it's like he's wearing armor, right? And so there's a reason for it to be metal. He's like wearing metal armor, but it's based off of Jim Lee's design. And his face and everything, very Jim Lee, looks great. But then, like, Kotobukiya, who normally does good stuff, did a line of little, mini statues. And they did all of the Justice League based on that Justice League splash page where they're all kind of standing together from the New 52. And some hit and misses in there, but they're all based off of Jim Lee's shit. But I think it requires someone that.
That's right, because he did the Justice League. He was doing the first issues of Justice League. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a by the way, best tandem of modern day was Jim Lee, Geoff Johns on the Justice League. Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
It was great. I really liked it a lot. And well, he was there this year. I didn't see him at all this year, unfortunately.
That sucks.
He has two panels that he does, and one of them on Sunday is how to draw with Jim Lee, which sounds crazy, but that's an amazing panel. That's
this
a great
is our bush episode. Here. This is our little secret bush. We're gonna put there just for you and me.
That's right. Well, there's remember one the first year I went in 2009. He had one on Sunday that was very under attended. But he was in a really big room. Since they started putting him in little rooms, which is lame, but this one was really big and very few people. He had a picture of Supergirl. And there's a kind of a thing that me and my friend Joe talk about with certain characters. X-23 is one of them, where an artist can draw them in a sketch. You have no way to know who the fuck they just drew, because a lot of guys will just draw their female, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's always the same look, you know, until you put them in a costume, they're like, oh, okay, then that's whoever. And almost every artist is subject to that. They have one or two, three, four, five stylized females, and then you can have pick which one it is. So if he's someone
and it's got to be the same thing for guys too. It's like, okay, well, he's old, he's younger, he's right. Like he's big, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, you have to. I think you would have to do that as an artist, especially if you're going to be doing a comic book.
It depends on the character. The character has to have some kind of distinguishing features, you know. Like Wolverine, everybody's going to know what Wolverine looks like with or without the mask. Captain America, you know,
he's pretty generic,
right?
I think, but that's kind of that's kind of his thing. Is he was a generic dude? I think so.
Yeah, but anyway, I've had sometimes artists draw X-23 for me, and unless there's claws in there, no idea who the fuck you're looking at, right? So Jim Lee had a picture of this girl in this panel, and she's bending over. The view is like basically right at her ass, and she's looking over her shoulder at you. Kind of interesting. You don't see Jim Lee draw like that all that often. It's just some girl, right? And he's like, this is the last one we had to give away. He was drawing all these as they went. He drew the Batman that I won there. He drew the Batman that I won, and then he has this Supergirl that he already drew before he got there. And everybody's just kind of like, I don't know what this is. And he's like, oh, wait. And he drew the Superman logo on her butt cheek. Supergirl. You need something, Because otherwise it just looks like a Jim Lee chick. But as soon as you put that on there, then you can say, okay, yeah, that is Supergirl, But without it,
That's pretty funny. I like that idea, though. I don't know. Jim Lee always seemed like a cool guy. You know who I want to meet? I just want to hang out with for like a, 4 or 5 minutes? Mm. Ed Boon.
Ed Boon.
He's the creator of Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen any of his interviews and stuff like that, but he's really into his, it's basically what I'm trying to say. Any creator who's into his product is still into it after 14 years, right. 20 years he's been doing Mortal Kombat now.
Sure, yeah.
And he's still excited about fatalities and stuff like that. So if you're still excited about your thing 20 years into it, I want to meet you and talk to you about your thing.
Definitely. Yeah, Jim Lee, I see being one of those guys because he's done everything.
Yeah, that's one of the things I would look forward to about a con, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the first time I ever seen Jim Lee, we were just sitting in a fucking hallway waiting for someone to come out of a panel, and me and my friend Joe were just sitting there with our backs to the wall. No one else is really around, a couple of security, whatever, and fucking here comes Jim Lee, and he's late for a panel. Shit. And he's not sure what door he needs to go into, but he knows Comic-Con like the back of his hand. He's been there forever. Yeah. He lives in San Diego. But he's for some reason turned around, and while he's there, I'm like, fuck, it's Jim Lee, right? You see him coming? I figure he's gonna go right into the fucking side, and someone's gonna let him in through the back door or whatever. But no one's letting him in anywhere, and he's not sure exactly where he's supposed to be. And I have, some X-Men comics that he did in my backpack and a Sharpie. And I was like, fuck it, I'm getting all this shit ready, I'm fucking hoping he doesn't go out of the room. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, Jim, I'm a big fan of yours. Would you mind signing a couple books real quick? He's like, I don't have a Sharpie. He's like, here you go. All right. He's like, all right, thanks. Did he fucking win? I was like, well, that's fucking amazing. It was completely random, But yeah, that's the kind of cool shit that can happen.
So you knew he was fucking lost, did not have to help him find his way,
no.
And just made him sign a bunch of shit to make a video later. Wow, Dan, a dick.
I'm not there to help him find his way.
I know, I would have done the same thing. Just sign all this for me. I didn't even draw this. I don't care.
One guy that was I didn't think I was going to get his autograph or signature on any of myself was Keith David. Or not, not Keith David. What the fuck's his name? Sam Keith. Keith David is a black actor. Sam Keith is not a black actor. He's a white artist, and I'd never seen him before, I don't think. I've always heard his name. I've seen his work. I'm familiar with it. Like, I could spot his work a mile away, but I don't think I've ever seen him. I never bothered to look him up online, and if I'd seen him, I don't think I would have put it together, but he's very unassuming. Like, he doesn't look like he's... you wouldn't have assumed that this guy's a talented artist, you know, by looking at him. He looks very... he looks like a dude you'd see on the bus on the way to a thrift store.
Yeah, just some normal dude.
Right. But I seen him, and he had a panel, super humble, like too humble, I think.
Fucking asshole.
Fucking humble motherfucker. Well, you know, I think he... he seems like he may have an issue with taking credit for his own stuff. But anyway, got to watch his panel, and then he's... stuck around and signed some comics, so I got the Max and like the Pit versus Max and
Pit versus Max.
A couple of different like Sam Keith things. The new IDW Ninja Turtles comic variant for. I got that and I got him to sign that, so that was cool. That was a cool kind of highlight. I wasn't really expecting that to happen or come together, I guess you should say.
Sorry, I gotta say it. Like I was gonna ask you. You could pick three cons to go to. Mm-hmm. And you're guaranteed to go to them. Mm-hmm. They're all expenses paid for the rest of your life. Which three would you pick?
Comic-Con, number one with a bullet, for sure. After that, man, I don't know. There's so many. Maybe E3.
E3 you would pick?
Yeah.
Not PAX East or PAX West?
Maybe PAX. I've never been to a PAX. Maybe PAX would fit in.
I think PAX would be a lot more fun.
PAX probably would be better to go to than E3 from everything I know. But I've been to E3 and it was fucking amazing.
That was when they were letting just audience members go.
No. It's still close to industry only. I think E3's always been industry only.
Yeah, but it's always been like industry only.
Right.
You know?
Well, at the time I was working at Blockbuster, and I think that's like the very bottom rung that you can be on to go, because they considered Blockbuster industry.
A distributor.
So, yeah.
Or sales or.
Right. Well, I mean, the. Blockbuster then in 2005 was still pretty relevant, and this was kind of before Gamefly, you know, where Gamefly just
today
started.
They would pay you to leave if you were Blockbuster.
Yeah, exactly. Just get out. Just leave.
Here's cap fare.
Yeah, at the time it made sense, but that was really cool. I don't know, but yeah, maybe PAX might be better than E3 to go to nowadays. And I gotta say WonderCon is on there, but like, if it was just all expensive pays, maybe PAX East would be a better one. I don't know. That's a good question. CES, maybe? You know, there's a bunch of different
things. There's film festivals you gotta count, too. Like, right. Maybe South by Southwest. Yeah, that'd be awesome to go to.
That'd be cool.
Or Cannes. Or Con.
Con. Well, it was Cannes. It went to Con. I think we're back to Cannes again.
Are we?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Good luck keeping up with that.
Yeah.
I'm unprepared to answer that question, but I would say Comic-Con absolutely is number one, especially all expensive pays. Man, I mean, that's... If you didn't have to worry about money, that would be a wholly enjoyable experience, because I gotta say, there are some shitty sides to Comic-Con. I mean, I spent a lot of money, and that, you know, is just a given, I guess. Stayed in a really shitty hotel, right? $100 a night to fucking fight off cockroaches is not fun, that's not cool. But you're still doing better than a lot of other people spending way too much money for things. You know, it's an 8-hour trip for me
That's one of the parts that just fucking made me.
If you would choose to drive, I've flown down before, and that's cool, but then you've got all your shit. And, like, the year before last, one of the years I went, I shipped all my stuff ahead of me because I was flying back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fucking nerve-wracking. You gotta take all your stuff down to a FedEx, have them pack up everything, and by the time it gets to your house, you fucking cross your fingers it's not destroyed, you know. That's nerve-wracking. But it's still not a bad way to go. If you're pressed for time, it's the only way to do it. Or if you don't live in California or someplace close, I guess. There's some people that show up from, like, you know, like Germany, and you know, they come from all around the world to go to Comic-Con.
When I was in Vegas, I met some dudes from Australia, and I met some dudes from London, and I met some dudes from Taiwan at the same table.
That's awesome.
It was pretty good. Just, I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, I'm just this dude from Sacramento. These dudes are from all over the country, yeah. You know, all over the world.
Right.
And these little places. And I think that's pretty cool about comic conventions too.
I was standing in line for an Adam Hughes sketch, and the dude in front of me, they wanted to split the lines to clear the aisle. For some reason, they had to line up in an aisle, but they
yeah,
had
that's
to,
fucking dumb.
Yeah, so they split the aisle, and I like got ahead on the other side of the aisle. And I was like, "Hey, you know, squish up so I can get in here. I'm not fucking falling back for nothing." Mm-hmm. So I started talking to this dude, and you know, he'd been to Comic-Con before, and his cousin lives in San Diego. Never went to Comic-Con ever before. Doesn't know what it's about. And he got his cousin in. And I started talking with this guy. He's from Sacramento, as it turns out.
That's pretty cool.
And he asked, you know, what comic shop I go to and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of weird. And I always felt like if you were to just... there's so many cool things about Comic-Con that, like, if you were to take almost any one element, it would be mind-blowing on a regular day, you know? And one of the things is the people that are there. It seems like you can pull almost anyone out of any line and talk to them, and you're going to have a shitload of things in common with them, you know?
Exactly.
It's amazing. It's so cool to have that, all these like-minded people in one place. I think that's the reason why there's no violence and shit, you know?
Everyone's kind of got the same idea. Hey, I just kind of want to chill around all the shit that I like.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about Comic-Con. It's all of the shit that you like,
yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, exactly. If it's current, it's there.
And I guess that would be the contrary to, like, a specific, like something like Gen Con. It's like, the only thing everyone here likes is board games.
Right.
Somebody's gonna get mad at somebody, you know, right. Especially playing a board game. You know, so they're like, "Fuck you! Why don't you trade me any wood?" Playing Settlers of Catan or something. I don't know.
Right.
But you know, I think that's what Comic Con's about. They kind of got the whole, well, everyone's here to do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no real competitive nature. But one of the other things that sucks is the line waiting.
Yeah, that's atrocious.
It's epic. Like, you have to know where to line up, you know, where to line up, when to line up. It's not just enough that you show up to Comic-Con and say, "Hey, I know I have to wait in the line for something. Where is it?" By the time you get there and find that out, if you don't know already, you're probably not going to get in because there's so many people that have done their
homework. I've been in the wrong line before.
Yeah.
And we didn't find out until we were in there for like an hour. But here's the thing. We were behind this chick with the shortest shorts of all time and the fattest ass. And I was like, okay, well, oh, this is the worst. Waiting. And we found out. It stood there. It just stayed for like 5 more minutes.
Right.
Like, we were planning what we were going to do next. So we know what we were doing.
Chin stroke.
I don't know. Yeah.
Whatever.
We're stroking our chance.
That's another thing, right? Is that, I mean... if my fucking wife doesn't listen to this, but if she does, she's gonna have to plug her ears. But the females in Comic-Con, good grief. I mean, it attracts a young set of people, first of all, right? Mm-hmm. So there's that. If you're the kind of person that people watchers of any sort, if you're dudes rubbernecking, or if you're looking at just the crazy, bizarre people. Like, you could just show up to Comic-Con without a ticket and have a blast just looking at all
these just chilling people out there in front of them. Because they give away stuff across the street from Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. It's hopping around the Gaslamp District, right on the side of Comic-Con. You've got all these companies
not everyone else
set up inside. Yeah, there was a roving Sanrio store. It was just a bus that they had a big Hello Kitty head on it, and like Japanese people just yelling at people in Japanese on the street over a microphone.
Dragon Age Origins, one of the first things I saw for was at Comic-Con was we were at something like, "Hey, check Dragon Age Origins out across the street," and they were tossing out these inflatable rubber swords,
right.
And we went to pot with them for the rest of the night.
Yeah, yeah.
We were on our way home, so that was cool.
Taco Bell has a taco truck that go out there and just give out free food.
Yeah, yeah. It's fucking awesome.
Adult Swim had a whole like fun house out there this year.
A fun house?
Yeah, it had all kinds of weird shit in there.
Yeah, weird.
There's like a little trap door you stick your head in to see like what's in there, and it's just a grown ass man in a diaper crying. That kind of shit. But yeah, they had a big Cartoon Network had a big thing for like Regular Show and Adventure Time and all that stuff. Yeah, it's the whole, well, that's the thing, is like it takes over San Diego.
So that's pretty cool.
Everywhere you go, people are wearing their lanyards like miles away from the convention center, you know. It's a really cool experience. I think if anybody that's remotely interested, you know, save up some money, make it one of your vacations or whatever, is something you definitely should experience.
Definitely have to plan it in advance, though. Yeah. Especially if you're going to try to get tickets.
For sure. Tickets are, oh my God. We found out some ways around that, and I gotta say, we did pull some trickery this year. It seems like it's necessary. This year, I got my 4-day pass, so that was, I didn't have to pull any trickery there. But I know that my friend Joe, he's got a handicap placard, right? He had some he has some disability. I don't know exactly what it is, but he got a handicap placard as a result. And if you bring that to them, you get a handicap like badge. And if you get a handicap badge, you basically can skip lines, right? Which is like, it's like playing Comic-Con with cheat codes. And
it's like being good-looking.
There you go, yeah. That's exactly it. A good-looking female, good lord, dude. Like, the fucking places that they let chicks into, it's fucking disgusting. Anyway.
No cover either.
Right.
Just because, uh-huh.
You're the kind of clientele we want around here. Yeah. But anyway, this year I went and got my badge, and I went over to this little thing where they do, where they give out those little like handicap stickers. And I said, "What do you need to get one of these stickers? You know, like what's required?" And the guy goes, "Are you going to go all 4 days?" I was like, "Yeah." And I showed him my 4-day badge, and he grabs it from me and sticks a sticker on there. He's like, "There you go." I'm like, "Fucking sweet! All right, well, I got my wife here too," and they gave her like the assistant badge.
Yeah.
So like me and her can like go and skip lines. Well, I guess this year enough people do that, and there's enough disabled people that
there's a disabled people line.
Yeah. There is, and they get access to disabled like seating in Hall H, for instance. They'll
That's
have like
cool,
a handful
yeah.
of rows in each section that are reserved for disabled, and those are the ones you wait for in that line. It's the first time I've ever done that. I gotta say, It made the whole experience a lot less stressful and a lot easier to do. It felt like fucking Comic-Con hacks. It makes me a despicable person, but fuck it. You know what I mean?
Sometimes you gotta be despicable.
I'm not despicable in the rest of my life. I conduct myself like a good
See,
person.
And here's the thing,
else.
that was as despicable as you got at Comic-Con. Guess
yeah.
what? A lot of people get pretty
fucking
shitty there.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that
some people was just steal.
Yeah,
which,
well, it happens. Yeah, fucking. But Hoya's somebody had a hookup on a scouter, and whoever that was, they had their bag stolen. Oh man, that'd fucking be devastating. Yeah, but it's true. It's true. And yeah, I'm not taking anything from anybody.
Yeah,
best
it's
I
a victimless
tell.
Crime.
Yeah, I think so.
Victimless crimes are the best kind.
Well, most of the time you get in there, like you go to Hall H, for instance, there's so many seats in there.
You know what the real crime is? Making you wait in all those lines.
Right.
So really, you're just fighting for justice, man.
That's it.
You're a saint.
I'm a hero.
You're a hero.
Fucking Batman, eat your heart out. Anyway, I don't know. I could talk all night about it, but
you have talked
short,
all night about it.
Well, to wrap up, to summarize, a bunch of amazing artists are there. You can get art, original art from them. You can commission them. I got me an Alvin Lee X-23 sketch cover that's just fucking.
I would want to be drawn as a Power Ranger. No, I would want to be drawn as Alpha 5 from the Power Rangers. And if you don't know who Alpha 5 is, Alpha 5 was the gay Latino robot that that's they got that like
with a disc head.
With a disc head.
Yeah. Yeah. And why not? I'm not sure how that would look. I don't know if you make your head into a disc.
Or Alpha 5's
replace
head.
The disc with your head.
Yeah, that's how it
would Alpha 5's head on your body.
Ay, ay, ay. I don't know. Well, I don't know. The cons sound great. I think I'm going to try to go to Gen Con next year. Because I can't go this year.
Right.
I might try to go to WonderCon. I might try to hit two conventions next year.
WonderCon is amazing. I'm definitely going to WonderCon. I'm going to skip.
Is it a lot cheaper than?
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Tickets are cheaper. They're easier to get. I think, I want to say it was $40 for a one-day ticket.
How much for
WonderCon?
The
Comic-Con is 75, I think.
How much is the, how many days does WonderCon go for?
I think it's just the weekend. I want to say 3 days. I think it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay, so how much would like a,
I don't know. I never bought the 3-day pass, but
because I don't want to go for 3 days.
It'd be cool.
Chill in Frisco. It wouldn't even happen. My mom's friend has a timeshare, so.
Well, there you go. If you have a place to stay, that'd be even better. Mm-hmm. But
see, I could have went to Comic Con. My girlfriend's dad, San
right.
Diego.
Well, that's the thing. Comic Con dwarfs San Diego. WonderCon probably wouldn't, But WonderCon definitely doesn't dwarf San Francisco.
San Francisco is a culture hub. Yeah. So it's already got shit going.
No one jacks up the rates and all that crazy shit like in San Diego. Like everybody in San Diego fucking, you can't find a place for less than $100 a night, you know? And that's if you reserve months, you know, a year in advance or whatever. But yeah, no, WonderCon, it was, it's like Comic-Con light, but it still has all of like some of the really cool shit. And depending on what you're there for, you may not be missing out on anything, and it could be a far more enjoyable experience, you know? It was for me when it came to like art. My friend Joe, he goes to Comic-Con like a fucking, like he's the goddamn comic book SWAT team. Like he's got everything planned out. He's got a bag full of comic books with all these tags, and they're organized very. He's got his schedule laid out. He knows where he needs to go and where he needs to be. Like he's serious business for him, you know. And by the time he's done, he's got like 100 signed comics on his hands, you know. And he's like me. We get all the comic books signed. They sit in a box. And we never look at them again. Like yes, we fucking did it.
It's like getting an achievement on Xbox Live,
right? A little bit. You just go out there to do it. I don't know. For me, it feels like, if I got these comic books already and I'm going there and they're going to be available and signing comic books, I might as well bring them with me and have them sign it, you know? Better to have a signed comic book than not, I suppose. But WonderCon's really good for that. It's just way easier. It's less crowded. Excuse me. Less crowded and, yeah, it's a good experience. But they, one thing WonderCon doesn't have on Comic-Con for sure is announcements.
Oh yeah, they announced fucking what did they announce? Oh, Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. Now I've heard a few different things about this. I'm not sure what the official story is. Some people want to say it was World's Greatest. I don't think they're actually going to call it that.
I was thinking they should have called it World's Finest. World's Finest is a way better name than Batman versus Superman.
Was it World's Finest or World's Greatest? World's Finest.
Because they've always been, that's what they've always been called.
That's what I meant to say. That's what I was going for. But then I heard that it's not that. It's going to be the next Superman movie. The next Superman movie is going to have Batman in it.
See, I have no idea what's going on.
It's going to be a new Batman. Obviously, it's not going to be Christian Bale.
Yeah, it's not going to be the Nolan Universe Batman either.
Right. So, who I heard that from was Kevin Smith. It was right after they announced that. I was at his panel, and he was like, he was saying, he was looking at it online when they announced it, and he was like, oh my God, they're finally fucking doing it. He's like literally crying, and his wife's like, hey, what happened? Are you know, equal rights for all? No, they're making a Batman Superman movie, you know? And, he's like, finally, it's happening. But he said that that's what he, listening to him speak, it sounds like that's what they're going to do is, introduce new DC characters to lead up to the
Justice League
through the Superman movies. So
I think for Justice League, that's the way to do it. Introduce things through Superman, because that's their guy.
Right. Yeah.
That's their guy.
For sure. And now the Superman's kind of in this weird position that I don't think DC may be counted on, where they, you know, you've got Nolan, Batman did
amazing.
But then the Superman thing, people are kind of on the fence about, it seems like. It didn't seem like it was as, especially like the first Batman was good, but it feels
The Dark Knight fucking blew it all up. Yeah. Just is like, yeah. And The Dark Knight is a way better movie.
Yeah, I think so.
But that's when I say, when you say it like that, it makes it seem like Batman Begins is shitty. Yeah. It is by no means shitty. Up until that point, it was the best Batman movie.
Right.
And then The Dark Knight came back and fucking knocked it out of the park.
And I think that they, when they made the Superman movie, were hoping they had a Dark Knight on their hands, but they had, I think, more like Superman Begins on their hands. So, what's a way to get everybody really excited for another Superman movie, you know?
Put fucking Batman in it.
Batman in it, yeah.
And who knows? Maybe it'll be amazing.
It seems like it will be. I'm anxious to see a new version of Batman, you know? A new movie of Batman.
Like, because as much as I dug Christopher Nolan, stuff like that, I would like to see a more comic booky Batman, you know? Definitely.
It was, for me, the fucking Dark Knight was so good. Like, it was so, like, right up my alley, you know, of what I would like to see in a Batman movie. Fucking Joker and Heath Ledger fucking killed it, you know.
Poor choice of words.
He really killed himself. And then he's good at being the Joker.
He really overdosed on that role.
That's right.
It was the scary thing about that is Jack Nicholson almost died playing the Joker too.
Right.
And he even told Heath Ledger, "Hey man, be careful with playing this role because whatever it was about it just fucks with you."
Right.
And
I heard that. Yeah, that's what he said.
And it was pretty fucked up.
Yeah. I have to wonder though if Jack Nicholson said, "Yeah, that's what I told him." Who's gonna prove me wrong?
Well, no, he went through the same stuff too.
Right.
Playing stuff too. So like.
I can imagine. I mean, if you're the kind of actor that's gonna throw yourself into a role, the Joker probably would be something that's gonna fuck you up. You know. It makes sense to me. Anyway, Batman, Superman, fucking awesome. They showed apparently a trailer for Days of Future Past that I didn't get to see.
I read a thing about it, like a summary of the trailer. I read a thing about a teaser for Thor 2.
Right.
He allegedly gets... Can I spoil it for you?
Yeah.
He allegedly gets his hand chopped off.
What?
Yeah, Thor probably gets his hand chopped because they what they show.
Does it happen at some point in the comics? I'm not familiar with it.
There's future Thor has his arm cut off and has like a Uru is what the material is called. It's the same stuff the hammer's made out of. And that's his arm. He has a beard, but this is future Thor. But basically, what they show in the trailer is that Thor is reaching out for the hammer to come to him, and then Loki makes a mo by his hand, and you hear Thor scream.
Huh.
So, and that's when it cuts.
Hmm.
So I'm thinking, what if they did cut Thor's hand off? That'd be pretty interesting.
It would, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be.
And here's the thing is, in interviews, Chris Hemsworth compares Thor to Jaime Lannister. Thor gets his sister and then fucks her. Right. You know?
That's right.
You know?
Thor gets a real taste for pushing kids out of windows. That's what he does now. He's no longer the god of thunder.
He's the god of pushing kids out of Thor. I'm Thory.
That's right.
It pushes him out of a two Thory window.
Thor meant the whole time.
I don't know, but that sounds cool.
It does. What else?
Captain America. I got a new trailer for it too.
I didn't get to see any of that stuff, and it sucks because it seems like they're really good at not letting that shit leak out, which is fucking crazy to me considering how many people are in that place. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing any of that stuff goes up on YouTube.
Have you seen Wolverine yet?
No.
The after credits scene in Wolverine,
mm-hmm.
he meets up with Professor Xavier
mm-hmm.
and Magneto.
Hmm.
And if you remember in the shittiest fucking movie of all time, mm-hmm. X-Men Last Stand,
right.
X-Men 3,
right.
Xavier dies and Magneto loses his powers.
Right.
Which is, stupid moves on both parts.
What time frame is this happening?
This happens after that movie. Because throughout all of the Wolverine, he's haunted by Jean, whether it's like a ghost or like some sort of mental thing, or it's just something in his head.
Right.
But like she has a recurring role to other things, and she's kind of
haunted. I just assumed that it was all before that.
Now this one takes place
after. Time in Japan...
No, this one
definitely
takes,
happens this in the one, comics before.
Yeah. This one takes place afterwards, before and afterwards, because
right.
the main arc of the movie, the main plot of the movie, has to deal with him saving some guy in World War II when they tried to bomb in Hiroshima.
Right.
And then this guy wants to repay him. The reason he's isolated himself in the Wolverine is because he's done. He's just like, I did his Wolverine thing. He's like, I'm done being the Wolverine. I'm just gonna go chill with this bear. This bear is my best friend
Very
now.
Gay dude?
Huh? No, it's just an actual bear, a grizzly bear.
Right.
Or a Kodiak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kodiak grizzly.
So he's like Paul Phoenix, man?
Yeah. And he chills with the bear and then goes to Japan.
Paul Phoenix. Yeah,
hangs out with some hot Japanese chick. And some weird looking Japanese chick too.
Yuriko
is weird looking.
Yeah, she is. I've seen her in the trailers. Yeah,
her face is shaped like the aliens from Russia.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to pay to see that movie.
Not going to see Days of Future Past.
I'll see it, but I'm not going to pay to see.
I would definitely willing to pay for it because I loved First Class. Adore that movie.
I hated it.
I adore that movie. It's so good.
I didn't like it at all.
It's so good for what it is.
It was some other movie to me that wasn't X-Men.
I can see that.
Yeah.
But
if it wasn't called X-Men, I probably would dig it a lot.
Here's the thing. I didn't care about any of those characters. Mystique, Magneto, Xavier, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think they nailed Beast. I think they fucking got him extremely right. But everyone else, Havoc, Pixie,
right?
Fucking that one red dude.
Yeah.
You know? What
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Emma Frost is
Nightcrawler's father.
Yeah. Azazel.
Azazel, yeah.
They nailed everyone who they did. The characters they did do, they got them right, right, you know?
It's just that it wasn't the first class
of X-Men. Yeah, it wasn't the first class of X-Men. So, which is, you know,
fuck that.
That's hit or miss, you know? But here is the thing, though.
Don't call it first class.
In the fucking chronology of the movie, that was
call
the first
it something
class.
Else. Call it something else.
You know what, Dan? Here's the thing, though, is with this new one, the Days of Future Past one, the X-Men, or the Xavier and the Magneto from First Class, and Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, the older versions, they're going to be in the same movie. I have to wonder if they're going to go the Star Trek route and reboot it.
I hope so. Fuck, I hope so. But at this point, to me, it doesn't even fucking matter, because the reboot is just going to be some fucking stupid, or even... they're just going to make it worse. If it were better than the source material, I'd be thrilled. It isn't. It's just not.
I don't know. The first class one, that's better than a lot of the X-Men stuff going on right now.
All
right, I really thought so.
It's just... If you have a vision for something... Fucking go ahead and do it. Just leave the X-Men out of it. You know what I mean? If you're banking on something that has some cachet to get your own fucking ideas out there, I don't have
a problem with that as long as they put out a good product. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Because
I feel like it diminishes what I already...
There's so many adaptations these days, though. Everything is either a book adaptation or a comic adaptation or a reboot or something like that. And if they were going to stay 100% faithful to everything, a lot of it would suck.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you were to get upset every time they do something differently or something, like, you're not going to enjoy a lot of things.
I'll give you an example with the Ninja Turtles movie, and I probably said this before. I would prefer they just didn't do it at all. From what it's shaping out to be, I would prefer the thing was canceled and there was no Turtles movie. Because I feel like it actively diminishes the brand.
But that's going to be a shitty product.
Right. That's true. In an event that it's not a shitty product, then you end up with Leonardo in any new content containing the Ninja Turtles, if the movie's super successful, will all mimic the fucking movie. It's what happened with Wolverine.
Okay.
Wolverine now is not the same Wolverine that he was when I was...
When you go back and look at the cartoon, he's kind of that Wolverine still. He's that Wolverine more than anything, I think.
I mean, Wolverine now is... And it's fine. He looks exactly like fucking Hugh Jackman, first of all. I mean, they just changed it. It's now just Hugh Jackman. They modeled his hair and his sideburns, all this shit. They look very similar to Hugh Jackman.
Well, Superman's been Christopher Reeve for years now.
All right. And what if you didn't fucking like Christopher Reeves?
Who the fuck doesn't like Christopher Reeves?
He's fine.
I get your point, though.
He's like the fucking 50s out-of-shape-in-shape guy. He doesn't look... He's not a physical specimen. And I get maybe Superman shouldn't be, because he's not that he's ripped. He's just from another planet, right? Okay, fine. But Wolverine is 5'3", right? I didn't grow up with fucking Superman cards that said exactly how tall fucking Superman was.
Okay.
You know? And... In all these examples of him being the fucking kind of the bad boy of the team he was on, that's not what Wolverine is at all anymore.
Well, he's grown as a character. He definitely has.
I suppose he has, but when did that start happening? When did he start growing as a character? When those fucking movies started coming out?
I don't think so. Because
before the movies, he fucking was devolving. He was literally devolving. He lost his he lost his nose. They were going through this weird second mutation kind of things. But he had bone claws. He lost his adamantium. He lost his fucking nose at some point for some reason, because he was becoming more feral and like beast-like. He had these crazy patches of hair on his arm. He had a bandana over his head. It was all before the movie shit started happening. He was becoming more and more like an animal and more like out of control. And the fucking movies are happening. And now all of a sudden he's replaced Professor X and Cyclops. Like, get the fuck out of here. No, thank you.
I don't know. I still dig him. I still think the story is more interesting. The idea of this, of a brutal, like a monsterish or a beast like Wolverine.
Right.
It's kind of,
I would just very basically, I would prefer a movie come out and represent exactly what happens in the comic books, even for better or worse, than have a movie come out with the same characters in it, be different, maybe be better in some people's opinions, and then have the comic book be changed and follow that. Like, I don't want the movies and the people that write the movies, who fucking may not give a shit about the comic book, influence the course of the property that they're...
Well, it's going to be influenced by something regardless. Pop culture, anything like that. So yeah. If it's going to be influenced by anything, I would rather have it be influenced by a property that was based on it.
You know? I guess, but who's to say what that's going to be?
Yeah, I know. It's
once you make the movie, everybody's going to be exposed to that. Iron Man... He's never going to look the same like he did before.
He's never
going to
look like Timothy Dalton again.
But now, Iron Man is a good, like, okay, so here's Iron Man. Okay, this is it's very possible, I think, for a property to be done right. Iron Man, I think, is a good example. You've got an actor that is very similar to the character already, but then also can play the character, not be, I'm just being
not Robert, be Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, you know? He was Tony Stark. Yeah, I get that.
And even the suit, the designs of the suit in the movie, all the comic books all look like he did then. You know, they'll start to go away from it the further we get away from the Iron Man movies. But as soon as Iron Man's in another movie, all the comic book, again, Iron Man's are going to look like him again. But it's not a bad thing, I don't think. I think the designs are all better. I think everything that I would care about as far as being influenced by a movie seems like it was done right with Iron Man, you know? Wolverine, I don't think so. I don't think of so as much. I think Hugh Jackman isn't anywhere close to what Wolverine was in the comic books before the movie, but I think Robert Downey Jr. is very close to what Tony Stark was in the comic books before the movies. You know, their portrayal of those characters
I get you.
Much more accurate but for Tony
Stark. I always just remember there being two different ways they portrayed Wolverine. Either he was the beast, the feral animal guy, or he was the, you know, the samurai, the kind of Ronin samurai right. guy. You know, so, right. And I think they could have gone either way with what they were going to do. And the fact yeah. that the movie version, you know, sold so well with audiences that they just chose to go this way. Had the movie version not done well, they probably would have gone the other way.
Yeah. I hope they don't go well at some point, so Fox just fucking relinquishes it. I'll put it this way: if Marvel gets the rights back for it, I will accept whatever direction they go in from there. At this point, with all the stuff they've done with the Avengers, I'm satisfied. Fox has not satisfied me.
I gotta say though, I'm upset with what they're doing with Fantastic Four. Because they're going with like a lot of young people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with going with young people, but they're going the dude they've had their. Who's rumored to be playing Mr. Fantastic is like 22, 23, 24, something like that, maybe. Okay,
so let's say it fucking is a smash. Say it's fucking Justin Bieber. Say Justin Bieber plays Mr. Fantastic, right. And they sell fucking lights out at the box office, all right? Well, Mr. Fantastic is really popular. People seem to respond to this version of Mr. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now the comic book version is starting. Oh, I'm younger now. See, and fucking, it just becomes Justin Bieber in the comic books, and the version of Mr. Fantastic that you like is no longer being created new. Like every instance of Mr. Fantastic that's being created from this day forward in any medium is reflective of
that.
Justin
and
Bieber.
I can see that that'd be incredibly frustrating, and it would.
Mm-hmm.
But my argument would be that if it's a better product, if it is in fact more entertaining, you know, and more worth my dime, then fine. Fine, okay, I guess it's going to be different now. The old stuff is still there.
Right.
And if I want that version of it, that's fine, I can go. But if this new stuff is as good or better, I'm all for it.
I guess so.
I guess I just don't have a real attachment to a character staying a certain way, as long as the growth makes sense, and as long as it leads to more entertaining stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's probably the position that... I would be wise to take. It'd save me a lot of fucking grief.
I think it would because
but, you know. I don't like fucking Hugh Jackman. I don't want him to be the Wolverine. I think his fucking claws are stupid looking. I think the fucking Wolverine's claws look better in the comic books than they do in the movies
because they're really hard to do. I think I will agree with you. In the Wolverine X-Men Origins movie, I fucking hate the claws. Hate the claws because I was watching that the version that got leaked online where none of the effects are finished.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, well, those claws look kind of shitty. It's, you know, whatever. They're going to touch them up for the real version. That'll be fine.
Nope. They still look that shitty. I'm like, I was so blown away. I was like, what the fuck? I paid money to see this movie and they give me this shit? That movie, that's probably...
You know what I would love to see happen in a Wolverine movie that I would be happy that they changed? Is if Wolverine, with or without the claws, demonstrated skillful fighting ability.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Because he is a martial arts master.
Supposed to be.
He's supposed to be, but in none of the comics, he's like, oh, shit, a bunch of guys. Then again, though, what
in the comic books, I can kind of give them a pass because you don't see him doing these things in motion.
Yeah.
It's hard to portray. I mean, he's not going to look like fucking Iron Fist all the time with his claws and all that shit, so how do you... You know, I can forgive him just swinging wildly at somebody, you know. But... Well, you know, when you start putting him in motion, he should have some kind of form to what he's doing, you know?
But he's been to war.
But if they can make Wolverine a skillful fighter to where he... Like, Wolverine by now should have his own fighting ability revolving around his claws. And it doesn't...
It doesn't seem like that. It always just seems like he's being berserk and doing, well, this seems natural.
Yeah. Anyway, who knows? Well... This has gone on for too long.
It has.
And I feel like we were a little pent up.
We disagreed about things. We agreed about things.
We did.
We were indifferent about certain things.
We've laughed. We've loved. We've cried.
We've circle jerked.
We've gained and we've lost.
We've discussed.
Mm-hmm. So just to, I think, summarize, basically, this is going to be going up before the other two.
Yeah, and then those will come up. When they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of them is the 100th episode. But yeah. But don't worry, that doesn't mean we're going to stop recording just to upload two old episodes. We'll still be recording.
Yeah. And it's harder to get everyone together and on the same page. Just get too busy. But, you know, we'll make it work one way or the other.
We also don't get paid to do this. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually is, you know, I pay every month. To host this show that I'm sure no one's downloading.
Except for you, guy in Zimbabwe. All
right. Ghana.
Ghana.
Yeah.
And Iceland guy.
Yeah.
Good old Iceland. You're the man.
Shout out to Iceland.
Shout outs to Iceland. Shout outs to shout outs.
I love me a good shout out.
You know what? Shout out to you, Dan Lopez.
Shout out to you, Robert Gonzalez.
All right. And I think we're done here.
We are. So thank you.
Good night. Good night.